This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks,
let's
buddy.
Hit the guest line right now. Let's welcome aboard Albert Breer, MMQB senior writer. Albert, good morning. Taz and the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this
What's
morning,
What's up, bud. Man?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Doing well, Albert. Doing well. Let's start, before we look ahead in the games this weekend and some of the interesting storylines. How about with the Packers here? You know, the future of McCarthy, the pressure to get this team to the postseason, and what's gone awry in Green Bay?
Yeah, I think, what you're seeing right now feels a little bit like, Philadelphia in 2011 and 2012, where, Andy Reid didn't suddenly become a bad coach. But I think it became kind of clear to people in that building that a change of scenery would be best for everyone involved. And, to everyone's credit there, that really did work out. Andy Reid was not seen as this, offensive innovator, this creative mind when at the end in Philly. And really, going to Kansas City, re-energized him. He became that. And obviously the Eagles, spent some time reworking and modernizing what they were doing. And it wound up getting them a Super Bowl 5 years later. And so, sort of feel like that's where the Packers and, McCarthy are. There's certainly been friction between the coach and the quarterback. And, right now you're at the same juncture you were at when you last made a coaching change there. Ted Thompson came in as the GM in 2005, spent a year with Mike Sherman, then they made the change to go get Mike McCarthy. That's right where they are with their first-year general manager, Brian Gutekunst. So I certainly think at this point a change is on the table.
So Albert, let me ask you, do you think that if for some reason they could pull off something pretty heavy here at the end of the deal and hit the playoffs, do you think the playoffs, if that would have happened, could save his job?
Sure. I mean, okay. You get the playoffs, you got Aaron Rodgers, anything can happen then.
Right.
I don't think this story's over,
But right.
This just seems like, this just feels like it'd be a natural breaking point. I think you're also looking at a quarterback who is, going to be 35 years old, and where are you going for the twilight of his career? How are you going to get the most out of him? I think the friction between the quarterback and the coach is a factor here. Not that it's anything like that new, and not that it's something that doesn't happen a lot of other places, but it's there. And, I could certainly see, some people in that organization looking at it and saying, we need to find someone who's going to get the most out of Aaron Rodgers, get the most out of the last 5 or 6 years of his career, if he only has 5 or 6 years left. I could certainly see them looking and saying, okay, do we go and get a guy with an offensive background who can maybe change things here a little bit, like, say a Josh McDaniels or a John DeFilippo.
Albert, let's go up to Foxborough on the Patriots. The concern level here, haven't played well on the road, have played well at home, we know that. Coming off the 24-point loss, I know losses happen, and it's a matter of getting better as we go along here, but the lack of health here with Gronkowski, the concern level you think up there in Foxborough about just where this Patriot team is right now?
Well, it's always this way after a loss of them, right? Like, it feels like every time they lose a game this way, it's like, is it over? I don't think it's over, to be clear. I do think there's some issues they have to work through, though. And really, I think on offense, it's about finding an identity. And I know that sounds weird, but generally, the Patriots, the first month of the season, will get these sorts of things out. Usually, they have that most teams don't have, where they can take blocks of games and sort of develop that. And I think one of the things that's kept them from doing that in the early parts of this year has been some of the circumstances they faced. And that's Julian Edelman missing the first 4 weeks with a suspension. Then Rob Gronkowski getting nicked up. You know, then they're trying to work Josh Gordon in. And so there's been a lot of moving parts there. And so, you know, I don't know if they've developed the identity of that offense yet. And Brady's so good, and Josh McDaniels is so good, and Belichick's so good that they can hide it for a while. But then when they fall behind in a game on the road, you know, you see a situation then where, okay, like now you're in third and long a bunch. How do you handle it? What are you hanging your hat on? There really wasn't anything there. And so that's sort of where I see them. They got to figure out, you know, who they are from an identity standpoint on offense. And then on defense, I think it's sort of the same story as last year. They're flawed on that side of the ball. And for them to be any good, the secondary has to play really, really well because that's where they're invested. And I think you saw last week what happens when the secondary doesn't play well. You know, Stephon Gilmore had an off game going against Corey Davis. Everything sort of went downhill from there.
So Albert, man, check it out. Moose brought up a good point earlier, man, about Pete Carroll, right? So it's kind of, we had a good conversation about it. I want to get your thoughts on it. Kind of like the feel of the conversation was Pete Carroll. Is he like the forgotten excellent coach of 2018? He's doing a pretty damn good job right now.
No question. I mean, look, the amount of talent that's not there anymore, and we can go down the list. I mean, Cam Chancellor, Earl Thomas is still in the roster, but he's hurt. Richard Sherman, Cliff Averill, Michael Bennett. Pete Carroll deserves a ton of credit. And, you know, I think part of it is recognizing when it was over. And, you know, I think part of it was understanding who he is and what his program is. And one of the things that was interesting that they did in the spring when they were looking at all this was, you know, we need to get back to who we are. We need to get back to who we were in 2011 and 2012 when it was building. And it's really hard to sell the idea of competition when you've got guys who are making $10, $11, $12 million all over the place. Those guys are in their 30s. It's really hard to sell the idea that every position's open when Richard Sherman's over here and Earl Thomas is over there and Michael Bennett's over here. Because those guys were gone, and not to say they weren't great players, but he could really sell the idea that spots were open. And, you know, I think it sort of reinvigorated the program. And they may not be as talented as they were a few years ago, but right now I think they've sort of returned to who they've been in the past. And we're seeing the power of it in the way they play. I mean, that team, win or lose, has played its ass off all year. They went to the mat with the Rams twice. They very easily could have won both of those games. And that's what's amazing about it, guys. Think about this. If they sweep the Rams, look at where they are now.
Yeah, forget it.
You know, they would be, I think I have this right. They would be two games out right now with the tiebreaker.
Yes.
You know, so, I mean, or maybe one game out with the tiebreaker. Pete Carroll deserves a world of credit for what he's done there. No question about it. And I think you got to give credit to Russell Wilson and Bobby Wagner for being the rocks of the program as they've sort of moved it forward.
Yeah, I mean, they'd actually be tied. I mean, they're 5-5. The Rams are 9-1. You take two wins away, 7-3. You'd have two teams at 7-3, and they'd have the tiebreaker.
Right,
they
were. It's so messed up, Boots. I'm sorry about that.
No. I'm not correcting you for the sake of correcting. I was just saying, but they'd actually because we were saying before, Albert, they're actually closer to an 8-2 team than they are a 5-5 team. I mean, that's how good of a job he's done. It's remarkable. And I didn't really expect all that much from Seattle this year. It's remarkable the job that he has done, and that's a hell of a victory last night against the Packers. You know, Albert, you look at the numbers, and certainly the Chiefs lead the league in scoring. But if I asked you, you know, Saints offense, Rams offense, Chiefs offense, which offense do you think you'd put your money on as being the one to take you home, take you to the Super Bowl?
Today?
Yes.
Saints. I trust Drew Brees implicitly. He's been there. And when I say today, I'm saying not for the next 5 years, but today. I think they have one of the best offensive lines in Toronto. It's a little banged up, but assuming he gets right, like one of the best offensive lines in football. I think probably the best receiver in football right now in Michael Thomas, and then one of the most dynamic weapons in football in Alvin Kamara. I look at the Saints right now. I look at all of that. They're all very well coached. You know, the scheme is set in each place. They all bring a lot to the table, but right now, I think to me the tiebreaker would be the quarterback, and I think the best quarterback is Drew Brees of the three, not to take anything away from Mahomes or Goff. And, you know, I think that they've got a couple weapons in Kamara and Michael Thomas that are probably a little bit better than any group of two from the other teams, although that one's probably pretty close.
Well, you mentioned Pat Mahomes there, so I got to ask you, Albert, you know, Moose and I had this long conversation, people calling the show about, I don't know if you heard about the whole ketchup on steak thing with Mahomes. So where do you stand on ketchup on steak?
That's gross.
Oh, man, that's just, I mean, I might have done that when I was like, that's one of those things that maybe you do when you're like eight. You know
yes!
what I mean? Like,
yes!
That's the thing.
Like,
that's one of those things, like, you know, like I was in the McDonald's drive-thru with my kids yesterday, right? And they order cheeseburger plain, like nothing on it.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Now, I probably did that when I was 6 or 7 years old.
Yeah.
But I grew past it, and I don't have my cheeseburgers that way anymore, right? I wouldn't do that one either. So, like, back when I was 7 or 8 years old, I probably put ketchup on steak. I'm sure I did at one point because ketchup tastes good.
But
you know what's great about it is there's so many things that are like almost, there's so many things about Pat Mahomes that makes you think like he's a big little kid.
It's true.
He plays with so much joy, the mohawk, like the voice. So there's so much about him that's almost like a little kid.
It is.
And that's what's great about this story is like that fits right into it, doesn't it?
It really does. And by the way, I dip my steak in ketchup with Tabasco in it, so it's a little bit better. I don't pour it on it, bro. I'm not pouring it on it.
Hey, guys, a well-cooked steak. I was going to say well done, but well done is nasty.
No, you don't do that. Yeah. Don't well done. Yeah.
If you order your steak well done, you are a sociopath. Yeah. Like, I do not trust people who order their steaks well done. A well-cooked steak, right?
Right. Yeah.
Steak doesn't need any sauce.
No, agreed. Yes, look, I'm with you, Albert.
I mean, you know,
we're on the same page.
You can throw a little salt in there. You can put a little butter on there. Like, all for that. But like a really well done steak. Again, I want to say well done.
I know. A steak that's cooked the right way. Yeah.
A steak that's put together well.
Right.
Yeah, like it does not need it. It's, like I'm telling you, like if you get a really good steak, now there is some where you might want to throw away one on there or whatever, but it's almost like a piece of art, like a great, great steak, you know, like you don't want to mess with it, you know?
All right.
You know, Albert, because the saga is over with Le'Veon Bell in Pittsburgh.
Thank God.
Two-fold question. Is he arch enemy number one in that locker room? We know they went through his locker. Number two is, do he and his agent really believe they're going to make up that $14.5 million in a free agency deal in the offseason?
Well, let's start here. I'm not so sure that his agent was all for the idea of him turning down the Steelers offer in the summer. And I'm not sure that his advice was to walk away from $14 million this fall. So he's supporting his client publicly. I'm not so sure behind closed doors this wasn't just exclusively a Le'Veon Bell decision, right? So I think that part of it's important here. I'm just telling you, there's been whispers about where they're at, and kind of the whole dynamic between that locker room and Le'Veon. And part of the reason why those three linemen, it was Foster, Pouncey, and Villanueva, popped off in September, really uncharacteristic with an NFL locker room. You don't talk about another guy's money, right? The reason they did that, as I understand it, was that Le'Veon told everyone, I'm going to be back in week one for week one. And they tried to get a hold of him when he didn't show up, and he wasn't responding to anyone. He shut all those guys down. And so, look, I think that I'm not saying this is going to prevent him from getting paid, but I do think that that's something that you have to look into if you're another team, right? Like, if you're going to give this guy $14, $15, $16 million a year, that's something you got to look into, and it's another brick in the wall when you consider his injury history, his suspension history. It's just, there's a lot there. So I'm not convinced that there's this pot of gold at the end of the rainbow for Le'Veon Bell. And I'll give you guys a project. try and find me a running back who changed teams after year 4 or 5 or 6 and got a huge deal. Mm. It almost never happens. Almost always when running backs get paid, it's early in their rookie contract and it's by the teams that drafted them.
Yeah,
you very, very rarely see a 26 or 27 or 28-year-old running back go to the market and make top-of-the-market money. It's because at that position, you get the prime years of a player on his rookie deal. And here's, go look at the rushing chart right now, okay? Of the top 13 rushers in the NFL right now, in week 10 in 2018, 11 of them are on their rookie deals. And a 12th player, Todd Gurley, would be on his rookie deal if the Rams didn't do him early. So that means 12 of the 13 guys are within the parameters of the rookie deal. The outlier is Adrian Peterson, who's an outlier in almost every way. So there's just a lot of things working against Le'Veon Bell here where, look, man, I'm always for players fighting against their teams. They should. The rules aren't necessarily fair to them, and your earning window is so short. If you're a professional football player, you need to fight for every dollar you can get. I just think the dynamic of that position is a lot different. And if I'm a running back and I'm looking at it realistically, I think the way you have to look at it if you're a running back and approach your business if you're a running back is I need every dollar coming to me as quickly as it possibly can because I have no clue when this is going to end.
Albert Breer, MMQB senior writer. Albert, you're great, man. We appreciate the time.
Thanks
and
so much,
we
bud.
Really appreciate the way you eat a steak as well.
Absolutely. Medium rare, guys. That's the way –
best
champions eat their steak.
You're a man's man. You're a man's man.
Albert Breer, MMQB. Enjoy your weekend, Albert.
Take care, bud.
And enjoy all the action. We'll come back. We got NFL picks for you. Taz Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.